Hallelujah. We need to pray for our nation. A lot of prayers need to go. A lot of prayers need to be said for our nation. A lot of things are happening in the realm of the spirit. A whole lot of machinations from the other side are taking place right now, and we need to really intercede for our nation. The enemy is wanting to sabotage the plans and the purposes of God over our nation. The enemy wants to release some strange events. The agitation in the east is being felt more by the spirit of confusion, and it is no more. There needs to be divine intervention. We need to pray for wisdom for our leaders. Father, we receive wisdom for our leaders in the name of Jesus. There's a need for intervention, and the intervention must not be a military intervention. The Lord showed me something today, and if we go military, we're going to suffer. The nation will suffer for it. There needs to be an intervention, and it's not a military intervention. And we need to pray for God to give our leaders wisdom, so that there will not be bloodshed. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for President Osinbajo, because he's the one there. If not for Jonathan's mess up, we should never even have a Buhari as a president in the first instance. But I know that God, in his infinite kindness, has allowed that to happen. And God is not a doer of evil, but at times he allows evil. It is the wisdom of God that Buhari is not on seat presently. We need to pray. Let's pray for our leaders. Since this tenure started, God has been telling us to pray for Osinbajo. We didn't even know Buhari was going to be sick. But we remember that early in the tenure, God told me personally that, how did he say it? He said we should ask. That's the way he said it. Buhari just won. And God told me that we don't have a president. So since then, I'd known that he was not going. I didn't know how it was going to happen, but all this playing out is the wisdom of God. But we need to pray. There's a lot of prayers the church needs to do. Many foolish people are saying that it's not by prayer that things are done as a nation, that we need to work hard and put things right. Well, the things Nigeria has been through, it is a miracle that we are still standing as a nation. It's been a miracle. You know, it's been a miracle that we're standing as a nation. And then we need to pray. And then we also need to spread love. Let's be careful with the terminologies we use, even in speaking. Let's be careful with what we release in the atmosphere. Don't jokingly call Hausas fools. Don't call them mumu. Those words add to the cloud. Amen. Let's reduce provocation. Praise God. Let's reduce provocation. The reason for all these machinations of hell, it's because of the gospel. Are you together with me? It's because of the gospel. The enemy does not want the God. The reason for war is so that people cannot gather to know God. That's the only reason for war. To pray for peace, to pray for our cities, to pray so that we can lead a peaceable life. Are you together with me? So that we can what? Lead a peaceable life. The reason the epistle told us that is because when the enemy attacks We are not like the children of the world. Do you understand that? We're not like that. We're different people. And marriage is not a successful story or a successful event. When you get married, your life is not necessarily better. Marriage is not special. It's not a big deal. What makes marriage a big deal? Are you listening to me? Is when your marriage is finding expression in God's will. Are you with me? If your marriage is not in the center of God's will, it's just, we thank God for the party, we thank God for the rice, and we thank God for the children those people will give birth to. And hopefully those children can be in God's will. Are you together with me? Marriage itself is not the success. A married girl is not better than a girl that is unmarried. In fact, Paul said that he wishes all of us can stay unmarried. Do you know that? No preacher likes to preach it, but that's just the truth. Even me, I'm not preaching it. I'm just mentioning it and I'll walk away from it. And if anybody has that kind of revelation, I will not support you. If God says, if you tell me that God says you should not be married, I won't approve of that revelation. I'll tell you that you need two or three witnesses for a word to be established. So I'll tell you to give me other three scriptures to prove it. And you will not have. It will be only that statement. And so I'll prove your word wrong. But it's true. And so marriage is not, and that's why when Paul was teaching about marriage, he taught about marriage and he brought it to, give me Ephesians 5, he brought marriage to Christ and his church. You see, if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry. It is better to marry than to burn with passion. I remember one time when I was praying to God because I was burning with passion. And I was asking God to take it away. And so I was really praying that, God, can you just take away this desire, this sexual urge away from me? Let me just be real spirit, you know. And I was praying. And then I had a visitation. A man walked up and told me that the only way to this, and he opened the scripture to me, he told me to go and marry. And so I went to quickly arrange my wedding. Quickly. It's not carnal to marry because of this. Amen. Because it's in the Bible, except you are more spiritual than the Bible. One of the reasons we marry is so that we can have a woman or a man to sleep with. Amen. It's a very, well, don't say amen. That's your concern. But that's what the Bible says. And I know some of you are really burning, but you better manage yourself so that you don't burn the real burn in hellfire. Are you together with me? So you better quickly go and make money so that you can get married. Amen. And then if you're not burning, you might need laying on of hands. But of course, that's not the main reason. It's just one of the reasons. The main reason is that marriage ought to exemplify the relationship between Jesus and his church. Are you together with me? So marriage becomes useless and then becomes inaccurate, better put. It becomes inaccurate when a man and a woman do not understand, are not into Christ and into church. Amen. It has not made sense to me, and it will not make sense to me, the marriage between a guy that is on fire for the Lord and a lady that is not on fire. It will never make sense to me. If you like, say he has a, she has a good heart. That's your business. You know, that's how we try to cover. When people are lethargic and we love them, we say, it might not be spirit like that, but he has a good heart. Well, there is no pattern in the scripture for that. Amen. It is usually important that a man is on fire for the Lord and a woman is on what? Is on fire. And you know what I mean by fire for the Lord? Fire for the Lord, I don't mean shout, speaking in tongues alone. Do you understand that? And I don't mean people that look weird. I just mean someone who in his personal life, Jesus is the most important thing to the person. Amen. Jesus is the most important thing. You can't afford to marry someone, either a man or a woman, that Jesus, because marriage itself is about Jesus. Amen. It's about what? Jesus. If you go marry and the marriage is not about Jesus, then it just doesn't make sense. Why are you behaving like an unbeliever? Amen. So it's about Jesus. It's about someone loving Jesus and you also loving Jesus. You know, when we love Jesus, many quarrels are even automatically die because both of us love Jesus. Do you know that? Many quarrel dies. Do you know the benefits of loving Jesus? Praise God. If you're a man and your money is not enough when you get married, do you know that if your wife disturbs you so much and harasses you because you don't have all the money, if she loves Jesus, you know she'll come back and apologize tomorrow? Because Jesus will abuse her over the night. Do you know the benefit of... Jesus will say, see you, you are a carnal girl. You are just embarrassing me. And also the man, if he shouts on his wife, you know Jesus will tell him the next day, because his wife fool, Jesus will say, who's not a fool? You or her? And then he will use style and apologize. But if you marry a devil, nobody will tell him that. So I'm not saying marry a Christian. I'm not saying don't marry a Muslim. If you marry a Christian that does not love Jesus, it doesn't make sense. You need to marry someone you can report to Jesus and Jesus can talk to. Can't you marry someone that is bigger than Jesus? That even Jesus cannot marry. Even Jesus is afraid of the person. And then you just say, well, just by your conversation, you win him. Me, I can't talk to him. Well, by your conversation. Some scriptures should not apply to you. Peter was telling the women that married men that are not saved, said by your, you know what it means? That statement looks simple. You know the trouble that means? Jesus said, I can't talk to him, but by your own conversation. Me, labor sorrow, but I know that keep behaving well. Do you know the meaning of that? Do you know? If you can do that, you will be perfect. Very soon, you'll be like Jesus Christ. You better don't marry a man that will make your perfection journey very, very fast. You will apply all the fruit of the Spirit. Within 1 year, you're already like Christ. Because you would have bear and born and beard. Finish. You will just bear. You keep bearing. Praise God. You want to prepare food for a drunkard in the midnight? Prepare food for a drunkard. My mother prepared food for my dad in the midnight. She prepared food for him. But when he comes home, when a man is drunk, he has to drink. And I don't say he's a good guy. He does not drink. You don't understand. He does not drink for now. He can drink later. There's nothing telling him not to drink. You understand? It's a personal decision, and a personal decision can be changed. For us, it's not a personal decision. It's a compared decision. If we don't do it, we'll go to hellfire. You don't understand? You need a man that is loyal to you, not because he wants to be loyal to you. He will go to hellfire. He has to be loyal to Jesus. One girl left his boy, her fiancé lately. He said, cannot sing. said he cannot sing. That shall always envision marry a man that can sing. Said cannot sing. I just heard that today. Very strong man of God. They're about to get married very soon. He's in the ministry. He just sent me a full message. The girl said cannot sing. And that the girl said that she has always envisioned a Yoruba boy that can sing. And God will give her. They will sing her to death. What's the relationship between singing and marriage? At least if you want music, won't you play it? Yesterday, I wanted to sing to my wife. I played it. Are you with me? How can you marry someone you cannot pray together? You cannot prophesy together? You cannot hear God together? It's not acceptable. Especially in these days and in this time. You will find out that money does not satisfy the soul. Money cannot satisfy the soul. Handsomeness cannot satisfy the soul. I'm telling you, you did not make your soul. Your love for money and handsomeness is not is a mindset. But the creator of the human soul, he has deposited eternity in the soul. Bible says he has kept eternity in the hearts of men. Are you together with me? After you get everything, what God has made your soul for, if you don't get it, you will still feel dead. Are you with me? Whether born again or not born again, I'm telling you the truth. Somebody was angry at Jay-Z. He said, how can Jay-Z cheat on Beyonce? He said, see Beyonce. But that's by the way. So you say, husband loves your wives. You see, can you see this kind of love? He said, love your wife. Not that, you see, this is your wife. She's a good woman. Love her. Now see how beautiful she is. That's not why you. Oh, but love your wife. You see, Christ loved the church. So marriage is about Christ and the church. Are you together with me? Marriage is about what? About, and gave himself for her. So you see, when you marry a Christian that is loving the Lord, it means that the love he will have for you will be growing. Because as he keeps having a revelation of the love Christ has for the church and how Christ gave himself to the church, that's the more he would what? He would love you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. Husband loves your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. This is trouble. Brothers, this is what? This is big deal. Do you understand it? That he loves the church so much, he gave himself for her. And after giving himself for her, the reason he did that is that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing don't worry, I'm trying not to be angry. I went to the last time I went to Bridge in Adiki, the mic was behaving somehow at one point. I felt like, will I lie and embarrass myself like this? I was so angry. I just took the mic. I just put it on the floor. Just to pipe my anger down. But I think I'm maturing in managing my anger. Just as Christ has also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. So he first gave himself to the church. Now instead of the church to behave herself, that Christ has given himself to us, she still has a lot of impurities that after giving himself to the church, he still will do what? He will now begin to sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Let me say this annoying statement to you because it annoyed me for a while. It's a very annoying statement. Many people used to advise me this statement, and they used to get me angry. That no matter how your wife is or the woman you're about to marry is, her imperfection is your fault. It's a very annoying statement. I know it has annoyed me too. There's one of my friends that knows how to say it very well, Pastor Yomi. He says it in an annoying way. It's our responsibility to train our wives. Amen. Amen. And to train is not, training is not just Bible study. Training is to be an example. Amen. Amen. The responsibility to train our wives, and then what we put in is what you would, don't go and save 10,000. I'm expecting 1 million. You carry your ATM card to go and withdraw 1 million. Are you together with me? It will take us a lot of men, it will take you a lot of prayer and fastings and exemplifying the nature of Christ, and you would have to train your wives. What I mean by train your wife is not like, I don't mean train your wife the way you are training a kid, but I mean you must reveal a pathway. Are you with me? You see, because this is not my message at all. I've left my message. Because your wife, whether the one you are married now or the one that you are about to marry, your wife is meant to do your life. What do I mean by that? Your wife will live out your life. Your wife will be the one to manage your life. When I mean manage your life, I don't mean control you. I mean that this company called your life, is everybody together with me? Your wife is a major player. And that's why, man, you need to grow up and stop begging. That's another day. We'll talk about another day. Your wife is a mate. She is the one that we play. Now, I see many couples first planning to make money without first planning to give their life a direction. By the time you have made all the money, after making all the money, when there is no direction for that family, your money will turn to instruments that you and your wife will use to destroy your lives together. You now have instruments for destruction. The man has the responsibility to receiving a direction from the Lord. One, direction for where their life is going. Two, not just where their life is going, direction of how life shall be lived. Let me be practical. In my family, as the head, not figurehead, the way some preachers that are afraid, that have been colonized by the spirit of this world. You know the world started a warfare about 20 years ago, and preachers gave in to that warfare. They are afraid to be called the head. I see people sharing strange revelations and say the wife and the woman, they are co-head, equal head. Where did you see that? Which co-head? strange revelation that they are equal head. Not that the man is they are both heads. Only a beast has two heads. We're not co-heads. There's no revelation about that. The man is there. Do you mean the man is the boss? Yes. Do you mean the man is your guy? Yes. Do you mean the man is the Lord? Yes. Do you mean the man is the king? Yes. Do you mean the man is the God? Yes. Everything, yes. Are you together with me? Now, this revelation is for the Christian man, the Christ kind of man. Are you together with me? If you like, say, Pastor Zag, I've been only married for 2 years. Why you tell us about marriage? Where? I'm sorry, I cannot increase the number of years I've married. And so, the man as the head, amen. Are you together with me? Must have a direction. For example, there are some things that are germane in my life. Not just futuristic. I mean how we live life. For example, hospitality is a major, me personally, it's a major part of my life. It is very spiritual. For me, I don't joke with taking care of strangers, of people, both good and bad people. It's not done haphazardly. It's a major part of life. As a man, I need to wash, sanctify my wife and cleanse her with the washing of water. For her to understand, are you with me? To understand that thing and to raise her and bring her to that direction. So that the forces that govern your life, are you together with me? The forces that govern your life are spiritual tangibilities. They are spiritual, but they are tangible. Spiritual realities. And it is for the man, it is for that Christ man to pick these realities from the Lord as he relates with the Lord. Amen. To pick them and to begin to start a journey of washing and cleansing and teaching the wife. Are you together with me? Amen. Now this thing, though, is an so you can say that marriage is not wedding day. Marriage is not after BSc job. After job, what? Marriage. That's not what marriage is. It is the one of the units of life that God has ordained for the revelation of his son and his church, and also for the release of kingdom wisdom. The what? The release of kingdom wisdom or the release of kingdom life. I personally feel, and I connect with my spiritual father, he also feels that when you are not a mature Christian, it feels you are not ready for marriage, regardless of your age. This might be strange to normal life, how people think. Let me say another thing, that we must be careful not to allow the culture and the spirit of our days to govern our life. It is very easy. It is very easy for us to blend. There is a cultural shift that is happening in the nations, especially in Nigeria. a major cultural shift that if you are not careful, you will blend. And one of the reasons why some of these shifts happened is because even the church shifted. The church shifted ground, especially in regards to marriage. The church shift, I make bold to say, that the church really did shift ground because of the fear of being archaic or the fear of being accepted by the world. We really did shift ground. And much of our teachings and our understanding, what we release to the body after a while as regards marriage, is just worldly. We just try to pamper the world system. I watched a video today, one of the biggest American preachers and his wife, they divorced. And they had a very nice discussion of their divorce on the altar. Like, they were just talking, everybody was laughing, everybody was laughing. You know, so just talking about the past, how the man used to, they gave her the mic to talk, how the man used to love her. You know, but if he had loved me enough, maybe we'd still be married. Everybody laughed. This was like shock to me that, okay, what's happening here? I don't want to mention the name. They are very popular preachers in America. That's divorce like that. And then we must understand. The reason why divorce is common in marriage is that when you take marriage, it's a divine idea. Are you together with me? Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's not marriage did not come because of civilization. Civilization did not birth marriage. That's why it is difficult to run it with the world idea. If we run it that way, it will keep crashing. They say prenup. Prenup agreement. That if I marry you, we divorce, you will not take my money, I'll not take your money, but they'll go their separate ways. See, some of you are only ready for wedding day. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not talking about outside in this church. You are ready for wedding day. Instagram. Your picture too must be on Instagram. It's good. It's fun to watch your picture. You know, I watched my own too. They told me, take your bride. Come and take your bride. I was glad they actually be because of that game. But I told you, after 6 months, I packed my bag. I put it on my floor. I sat down. After I just sat down on the floor. I said, God, you better tell me how to do this. Or from here, I'm just walking. I'm just going. I don't know. Maybe you will call me in another city. I don't know. Until God began to open my eyes again and again. I now started the old journey again. Then I went to call people that have done the marriage before. I called them into my house. I said, come and tell me and my wife how to do this marriage thing. We don't understand how they are doing it. We thought we were in love. What happened to that love? Then I began to look at the scriptures more and more. I began to open my heart to the scripture. There is a cultural shift. I watched Isoke and yesterday with my wife. That movie. Nice, very well acted movies. Beautiful movie. And I began to show my wife some scenes. Some scenes that are very nice. There's a character. The woman has a auntie. She's a character. She's a prayer warrior. Any small thing, she carries anointing oil to pray for anything. And it was a mocked, in that movie, that character was mocked. And that's it's silent. There is mockery now on anything spiritual. It's in the culture. It's not like that before. Your fathers were not like that. Your father was not like that. Your father, your mother was not like that. Even some people that were witches were still obeyed men of God. Do you know, I get more respect from parents than even from young people. When an old woman or old man hears I'm a man of God, they respect me. When a young boy hears of a man of God, he just feels I'm a spiritual consultant. I don't. When I'm around old people, the way who is so funny, big pastor. That's how all the old people I have met receive my ministry. All of them. Old women kneel down every time I say, I'm a, they say, ah, I believe that. Oh, they're so for me, pastor. I believe my business. But when everything is, let me tell you how to say, I'm a me. But when John said, that's my pastor. I say, hey, pastor, how are you doing? The idiot will tell you what is, the idiot will say, I'm into all like God. I say, I'm pastor. He say, all like God. Does it look like the same thing? I'm into oil and gas. You're an idiot. I notice it. I just want to tell you that day two they are doing something. I said, I'm a man of God. He's into oil and gas. I carry people from hell to heaven. I train people from man to Christ. You say you're in oil and gas. There is something. And cultural shifts are sponsored by principalities and powers. Do you know? Do you know it is demons that sponsor it? I saw an argument on Facebook lately. It went viral. People were saying, why do they shame prostitutes? That why are we shaming prostitutes? That if you fornicate, it's also a sin. Why would prostitution be shamed? That the prostitute is even better than you because the prostitute is making money. It is a cultural shift going on there. In the end of that, it's okay. One girl took food to her husband. That's why I was on the call. And I saw one argument on Facebook on Instagram. It went viral. The argument was a guy went to his fiance's house, and then after eating, he signaled his fiance to come and pack the plate. And Nigerians were arguing that he's egoistic. That why would he signal that it was meant everybody should pack their plate to the kitchen? So that if the woman now decides. So I replied them. I said, my anger is that he signaled. Now, why would he signal? He's meant to shout her name. He said, maybe because of the discussion, they were carried away. He should shout her name to come and pack. Because even someone that is not your wife, if a visitor comes to her for the first time, will you not pack it? What's wrong with her? Are you better? We have decided not to be religious and we're now stupid. We have chosen stupidity over being religious. They say, stop being religious, then they become foolish. And I think being religious is better than being stupid and foolish. They're arguing over parking plates. No, and that one wants to do wedding. Over parking plates. And you want to be married. You want to have children. Children, you will back the baby and you will be in the kitchen sweating with food. And the baby is biting you and the husband will come and rub your back and say, well done, and go back. Are you with me? Are we on the same page? Somebody say, holy women.
Holy women.
Like marriage is just, it's beings. I'm talking about prayer warriors. The woman was known for intercession, to bet spiritual things. What are we talking about? And then we shifted, the church shifted ground. But because when we started hearing strange things like co-head, even in the world, even worldly girls like to marry bad boys. That can hurt them. There's a every good girl likes a street boy. That can control everyone in the world. And I'm sure some ladies here are waiting for the balance of my message. That's where that demon is seated. That balance you are waiting for is that demon. I'm telling you. That balance is that devil. That's where the Satan is waiting for you. Is that balance? Amen. So the Christian man, are you together with me? The Christian man gives himself. What does that mean? He is vulnerable. He gives himself to his wife. He's vulnerable. He gives himself to his wife. The wife knows that this man is totally committed to me. Not because I'm a good woman or because I'm a bad woman. He's vulnerable. I can mess him up. Do you know our wives can mess us up? Do you know that? Ah. Your wife can mess you up. You saw that king doing 225 days party. What's his name again? Ahasuerus. Doing party like a big boy. All the kings in the world were there. Doing party. Give me Ahasuerus. He did party. He enjoyed himself. Everybody looked at his glory. One thing just messed him up. Messed him up. See, he sent letters to all the king's provinces to each province's own script. Not everybody, every province had their own letter. What's wrong with sin? He sent letters to all the provinces, to each province's own script, and to every people their own language, that each man should be known now. Give me the beginning of this letter. The beginning of this party. Let's start from verse 1. Quickly, we don't have time. Now, it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. This was Ahasuerus. This was the Ahasuerus. Who reigned over 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia. Not on this. This was the Ahasuerus. If you don't train your wife, she will finish you. You think he's just taking her out to buy? That's not all. You spoil her. You spoil her. Better don't spoil her. Better prepare her. So you spoil her with gifts. Spoil her with gifts. No. You guys must see that. So you understand why Oyedepo sat down with his wife and they had to sign. You need to understand those kind of things. A man is going somewhere. Are you with me? He might not be big ministry. When I mean going somewhere, when I talk of a great man is not one that has a big ministry. A great man is a man that has a pattern for his life. Even if his church, even if his whole world is not more than this pillow space, there is a system that governs his life. If a man don't have a system, he's not a man. He must have a template for living. He must have a consistent life pattern. It's not about being big. It's about pattern. A man must have a pattern that God has given to him and God is still giving to him. There must be a system, a spirit-born system from within that he lives for. And he must have the capacity. You see, because the wife will enforce his life. Don't forget that. Your wife will be the one that would enforce. The man is meant to be on the back seat, and the wife behaves exactly like he would have wanted him to be, her to behave. You get what I'm talking about? She brings her own values, but you see, she latches on the template and the direction that he has received from the Lord. So this is the Ahasuerus who reigned over 127 provinces from India to... You see, the annoying thing is that how will I have a message from my house? A message from my house, I prayed over it, I'm sure about it, it will hit, it will flow, and I come and be preaching something else. I don't understand this. How can I have a planned series that I've said will look at the wheel? How to enter into a phase where God will, you have 100% answers to prayers. You remember? That's what I was meant to start today. And then Gabriel and Loretta just shifted everything. So this is the Ahasuerus. All right. In those days when King Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan the citadel, that in the third year of his reign, he made a feast for all his officials and servants, the powers of Persia and Media, the nobles, the princes of the provinces being before him, whom he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom. Can you see? And the splendor of his excellent majesty for many days. 180 days in all. 30 minus 180 is what? 6 months. Abi? 6 months. 6 months party. People have had money in this life. 6 months party. Say, this year, na party year. And when all these things were completed, the party had ended. People had hailed him that, Kai, that king is bad. The king made the feast lasting 7 days. You know when you hear some people, they want to do more. Kai, he made a feast lasting 7 days for all the people who were present in Shushan the citadel, from great to small, in the court of the garden of the king's palace, in his very secret chamber. They wear white and blue linen curtains, fasting with cloth of fine linen and purple on silver rods and marble pillars. The couches were of gold and silver on a mosaic pavement of alabaster, turquoise and white and black marble. I rebuke poverty in the name of Jesus. This one too is good. See, so poetic. And it's not poem, it's real. Somebody's glory is real, it's not poem. It looks like poem. Go back there, like, enjoy nice things. Like, you're running away from there. They were white and blue linen curtains, fasting with cloth of fine linen and purple and silver cloth and marble pillars. The couches were of gold, not color gold, gold. Gold and silver on the mosaic pavement of alabaster, turquoise and white and black marble. See. And they served drinks in golden vessels, each vessel being different from the other. Can you see? Have you ever gone to a party where there is not the same vessel and all are gold and all are different? No two cups. Woo! Each vessel being different from each other with royal wine in abundance according to the generosity of the king. See you. In accordance with the law, the drinking was not compulsory. For so the king had ordered all the officers of his household that they should do according to each man's. So, according to each man's pleasure, Queen Vashti also made a feast for the women in the royal palace which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Bizda, Habona, Bigtha, Abagtha, Zetha, and Kakas, 7 eunuchs who served in the presence of King Ahasuerus. So can you see that? Wait, chill. Listen to me. Hear this. Can you see that with all the things he did, the fullness of his party is the presence of his wife? I'm telling you, you had better spend time with your babe. Make una talk as una won't live una life. It's more important than that money you are chasing up and down. That money will turn to instrument of warfare. She would not have shot you if not that she has money to buy a gun. You better teach her not to kill you before you get money for her to buy a gun. You better teach him also. Are you together with me? The connectivity, value-based connectivity. You must have a connection even though there is nothing. You must say, how are we going to live if we had nothing? What are the values that uphold this family? So that when everybody sees every other thing, there are values that we live by. The fullness, the bride of Christ has experienced many things. The church, starting from children of Israel, moved from Egypt to Canaan, walked on dry land, the part of the Red Sea, manna came, quails came. Even after the new testament began, we have experienced a lot of revivals. But you know God is still with the church. Why? Because he's waiting for a bride. With all the miraculous power that has happened, God is not satisfied. What will satisfy God is a bride. The wife of a man, just like the wife of God, is the most important thing. Do you know God will end this whole heaven and the earth thing immediately he gets his wife? When he gets his wife, he tells the angel, blow the trumpet, he destroys everything. So your marriage and your family, that's why you cannot just marry anyhow. You cannot marry anybody. You cannot marry anybody. So this man had expressed his, he now called 7 eunuchs that are closest to him. He says, hey, you people have not seen anything. Okay, go on, let's bring breakfast. Before the king, wearing a royal crown, in order to show her beauty to the people and the official, for she was beautiful to behold. That's verse what? Go back there. Verse 1:1:1. The story is about to change. All right, let's start another story. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command, brought by his eunuchs. Therefore, the king was furious, and his anger burned within him. You see, when the king was doing her party, his party, King Vashti too, was doing her party. That's why she cannot come. If she thought she's already a king too. You know, some ladies are tired of queening. They say they are kinging now. King Vashti too is in her party. She did not know that her party is an offshoot of his party. That you don't have a party. It is the king's party. When God brought in the first babe, he told the first babe to help him. Even if she has an idea that did not originate from him, she must know that she's still helping him. Even though she has a vision that he did not even advise her about it. He does not know how the inspiration came. She must know that she's helping him. And she's not doing her own. So, when the king was doing his own party, she also was doing her own party. They have 2 kings in 1 palace. And the king was furious. His anger burned within him. Then the king said to the wise men who understood the times. Can you understand that? That is a cultural shift. I don't know if you are talking about. It's a spiritual thing. What Vashti did is not a physical thing. It's a spiritual, I'm telling you, something spiritual again is happening in our times and in our seasons. And our work is to review kingdom pattern. We are not to be bullied by the pattern of this world. We are going to see men that love their wife from the depth of their soul. And we see love manifest. And then we are going to see women that submit to their wife so much that the world will interpret the submission as slavery, but it's not slavery. Bible says we should be like Sarah, who called her husband Lord. I have my plate, man. I have my plate. It's my plate. If not everybody can use the plate, where are you coming from? It's my plate. I am served differently. At times I feel shy when people are, so that I can show I'm humble, I tell them to serve me like every other person. But that's not how they serve me. I just don't want people to think that I'm a thief in this house. By the way, we're having a meeting with other people that are important. My food will not be, I will now look like a gorilla in my own house. Are you with me? It's a privilege to be a woman. It's a privilege to be a man. And God is the one that gave us our place, man and wife. And we must stay in our place. What made the devil fall? He did not stay in his place. You see, there is no better place for you than the place God gave you. There is no higher place in a marriage than the place God gave you. Don't be like, don't try and be like, the man cannot be like you. If we were given the responsibility of bearing children, men will not bear children anymore. We would have stopped bearing children. We can't go through that thing you guys go through. We are not wired for it. We can encourage you. We cannot. We'll look for a better. How can this child come? Are there no other ways? You cannot handicap a man for 9 months doing like this up and down. He will not do that. And after that, you still want more children. You are made for it. You are wired that way. The olden days women will stay with a man that from Shoemaker, they will stay. You remember how your mother stayed with your father? Stayed with him until the man make money and became a bad person. You remember now? You remember those pictures? See both of them suffering together. Check, go and ask firstborns and secondborns. They'll tell you the stories of their husband. See how women stayed with their wife. Now women can't do that again. You are losing energy. It's not sophistication, it's weakness. It's not sophistication, it's weakness. Many of this our own generation, what preserved this generation is the women. Go and check statistics. We had more men run away from their responsibility. It was the women that stayed. And these ladies I'm seeing now will not stay. These ones that I'm seeing all over social media will not stay. Our parents, you will see a boy 400 level doing guy in the university. His mother is selling tomato in the market. You will see him doing guy, join court. He will say, you know why, B? He's nothing. All through university, you see boys stressing that woman, just calling the woman would run helter skelter to look for money for the boy. Work, jobs, come back in the night, cook for them strange soups, 100 naira soups. Praise God. Manage the thing and make it work out. See women keeping strange secrets. Strange secret. You later hear your father, when you become 25, you later heard your father had one 28-year-old boy. Your mother had nonsense and still cooking for that man that had not poisoned him. To preserve, you see, the nation should rise up and give our women medals. They were the ones that preserved this generation. But the times are changing. Times are changing. And you must not change with the times. You must enforce kingdom righteousness. If you will not enforce it in the world, at least you would enforce it in your home. But we never come to your home and even your son does not know the difference. Even your child does not know who is daddy and who is mommy anymore. But daddy behaves like mommy, mommy behaves like daddy. We now have men that are afraid of their wives. Afraid, not holy fear. Afraid of their wives. And they are saying they can't take any shit anymore. But we are not like that. I said we are not like that. We are men that give ourselves to our wives. No matter how weak they are, we don't change our loyalty. We don't change we give ourselves to them. Just the way Jesus gave himself to the church. This church has been embarrassing him for all these years. He's still there with us. You know how much we have embarrassed him? You know how many pastors quoting Psalm 100 and says you must connect with $100? The last few times I've been on, you know the stories I've heard. I casted out a demon from a seven from a girl, and she told me how the demon came in. She was raped in church when she was 7 years old. In church. She was raped in church when she was 7 years old. And that was how the access came in. And she would just sit down and be crying. She would just sit down and be crying. At times she would be laughing. That's how she had been living for years. And they asked her, would you ask her why she's crying? She would say, I'm into drama. I want to learn how to act. But depression rests upon her. She would just be crying for no cause. Raped when she was 7 years old. In church. And Jesus, if he's like us, won't have left the church. But he still committed himself. The same church that is meant to be the house of salvation. Bringing ridicule to him. But he believes so much in that church. And that's love. I said that's love. Then the king said to the wise men who understood the times, for this was the king's manner towards all who knew law and justice. Those closest to him, being Kashina, Shetha, Hadmatha, Tashish, I'll round up soon, don't worry, Meres, Masina, and Memukan, the seven priests of Persia and Media, who had access to the king's presence and who ranked highest in the kingdom. What shall we do to Queen Vashti according to law? Because she did not obey the command of King Ahasuerus brought to her by the eunuchs. And Memukan answered before the king and the princes, Queen Vashti has not only wronged the king, but also all the princes and all the people who are in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For the queen's behavior will become known to all women, so they would despise their husbands in their eyes. When they report, King Ahasuerus commanded Queen Vashti to be brought in before him, but she did not come. Stay there. For the queen's behavior will become known to all women so that they would despise their husbands in their eyes. Many of the Hollywood movies, this is what they are passing unknowingly. Knowingly rather, not unknowingly. Don't dishonor your husband. Don't dishonor your husband. Don't despise him. Babes, can you hear this? Don't dishonor your husband. Don't despise him. Give me 18. This very day, the whole noble of ladies of Persia and Media will say to all the queen's officials that they have heard of the behavior of the queen. Thus, there will be excessive contempt and wrath. If it pleases the king, let a royal decree go out from him and let it be recorded in the laws of the Persians and the Medes, so that it will not be altered, that Vashti shall come no more before the king Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal position to another who is better than she. When the king's decree which he will make is proclaimed throughout all his empire, for it is great, all wives will what? Will honor their husband, both what? Great and small. So you don't honor a man because he's wealthy. You don't honor a man because... You just honor a man because he's your husband. Huh? So husband itself is honorable. Am I talking to Christians? I don't know. All right. And the reply pleased the king and the princess, and the king did according to the word of Memukan. Quickly take us to the preparation of women. Let's round off with that. You are blessed. Do you know, as I'm even preaching, I can sense the fear. You know, these areas are gray areas. Pastors are afraid to touch it. Except for those first ones that touched it, the ones that their marriage were kept. them that the Jew and Oyedepo, that their generation, they kept it very well. The new generation ones have they are speaking English. English up and down. But you know this for the Christian man. I said this for the Christian man. This is for the lover of Jesus. This is for the Christian woman also. The lover of Jesus. So it was when the king's command and decree were heard, and when many young women were gathered at Shushan the citadel under the custody of Igai. Praise God. That Esther also was taken to the king's palace into the care of Igai, the custodian of women. Now, the young woman pleased him and she obtained his favor. So he readily gave beauty preparations to her. Now, the word, can you go to your Strong's and look for the meaning of Igai? Huh? Huh? What does it mean? Meditation. Let me check. I'm sorry I'm taking your time. Give me 12 minutes. I'm so sorry, please. Pardon me. I believe this is a very important word for us as a church. I just felt the spirit impulse not to stop it. So that's why I'm continuing. I had a prepared message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Now the young woman pleased him and she obtained his favor. So he readily gave beauty preparations to her besides the allowance. Then 7 choice maid servants were provided for her from the king's palace. And she moved her and her maid servants to the best place in the house of the women. You see, a guy there represents the Holy Spirit. If you're going to be the kind of woman, the kind of wife God wants you to be, you must have a very intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. Not with us. If you don't connect with the Holy Spirit, you're going to connect with the spirit of this world. Amen. Are you hearing me? If you don't have a relationship with... Listen. And it is easy to connect with the spirit of this world because your flesh has a contact point. I said your flesh has a contact point with the spirit of this world. Every one of us. The spirit of this world knows what to tamper with in our flesh. That will open us up to the works of the flesh and to the satanic realm. And so you need to have a good relationship with the Holy Spirit so that he can break you and mold you. We all need breaking and molding. I told you about upper year, I just got married. I and my wife went out and we're really tired. So we're coming back in, we went to the market, we went to buy some meat. And I took the meat to the house, but she had to stay in the market and buy a whole lot of stuff. And when I was helping, taking the meat to the house, I thought I had done something good for her. Like I reduced her stress. And then she was going to come back home to cook the food. And so when I put the meat in the kitchen and I went to sit down. And then the Holy Spirit told me to go boil the meat for her. Now, as simple as that is, listen, I have never seen my father boil meat. And that's not simple. The things you see while growing up, whether you like it or you don't like it, most of it have been transferred into your soul. You didn't know how it got there. And that's why I tell people, don't hate your dad too much, because many a time the things you hate about your father are also inside you. You are going to take deliberate efforts not to be like that. And then it was difficult for me to go boil the meat. And the Lord explained to me that both of you just went out. Both of you are tired. And then she's the weaker vessel. You are the man. And you are so man that the way you interpret strength is that the weak one should come back and cook. And that's how you interpret strength. That if it's to accurately interpret strength, shouldn't be the strong one to do more work. But for me, strength was interpreted as ego.
I don't know if you are together with me. And so that was one of, from that day in my life, I began to trust the Holy Spirit more. That the guy, some of your ideologies about marriage is not godly, it's from your father. Some of the things you think are normal are not normal. You got it from your father and your mother. So a woman and a man must have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit and trust God. You know, the seven chamberlains typifies the seven spirits of God. Because the Bible says they were in the inner court of the king's palace. We need to engage the seven spirits of God, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of counsel. You cannot be yourself. You cannot be how you are. You have to engage the spirit of wisdom. You can't talk to your man the way you talk to everybody. He's different. Are you with me? And the Holy Ghost will help you. The spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. And then those were the spirits that came together to prepare this wonderful woman. Not television. Not Genevieve. Not all those babes on the TV. Not the spirit in the air. Hallelujah. Not feminism. You're not a feminist. The pastor can be feminist. You can't be a feminist. You can't be a feminist and a Christian. Feminism will not tell you to call your husband Lord. Scripture tells you that. Are you together with me? And Bible says all of us should be like Sarah. Now, when we leave here, I'm not saying everybody should go home and say, Lord Zach, Lord Kuride, Lord. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about how you, it's a heart thing. Amen. There must be honor in your heart. Nobody in this world should honor your husband more than you. Nobody in this world should honor your husband more than you. It should be honorable in your eyes. And nobody should protect your wife more than yourself. It is better to lie. It's better to be in the path of being overprotective of your wife than not to protect her at all. Protect your wife from your family member. Let everybody know that. Listen, one of the ways that you are sure you are doing it well is that everybody thinks your wife has judged you. If that's not your testimony, you're not protecting your wife very well. People must begin to say your wife has judged you. And your wife must be shocked by it. And say, this tough man. That's the balance. She knows what is happening inside. But you know what you are painting outside. Everybody must be sure that your wife has judged you. They must be saying it in family meetings. That his wife has used medicine for him. It's whatever his wife say he will do. You must be my wife kind. You know, we nearly forgot Lulu's name. When did she got married to her? I'll be talking to my friends. So Alpha, so I told my wife. I said, so my wife said, I said, oh, but call her name. I knew her before. No, this was what's her name? Man, are you hearing me? You must protect your wife. If you're going to choose between your wife and your mom, you'd have to trust God for him to take care of your mom. Just pray and say, God, take care of her. Are you hearing me? You just commit, because God is better than you. And then you just commit her in the hands of someone that is better. Who is God? And you take care of your wife. And everybody must be sure about that. That's what Jesus did. He committed himself to the hands of the church. He gave himself to the church. That's what he did. You must do that for your wife. No controversy. Everybody knows that the way to reach you is to reach your wife. Everybody knows you don't. Everybody that doesn't like your wife know that you don't like them. No back door. It's true, my wife. No back door. I might not say this always. We have 5 more minutes.
Then seven choice maidservants were provided for her from the king's palace, and he moved her and her maidservants to the best place in the house of the women. Esther had not revealed her people or family to Mordecai. Or family, for Mordecai charged her not to reveal it. Now, take me to where she entered the king's palace without the king's permission. So you can see that eventually, we now saw that the reason why Ahasuerus even has a wife, according to divine will, is for the deliverance of Israel. I don't know if you are together with me. Marriage becomes a failure when we don't understand divine purpose. Why must your family exist? What is the purpose of this family on earth? It's not just about you and the woman. There is a divine purpose. There is a divine counsel. There is a will. When you engage the will of God, then you would also engage provisions of God. The will of God is the key and the door to divine provisions. Amen. When you don't know his will, you would have to just live by the labor of your hands. But when you understand his will, then you come into favor and ease. Because you are fulfilling a purpose beyond yourself. You are not just... Listen, the cheapest way to live, the cheapest life, is the life lived for yourself. When you live for yourself, you are cheap and your death is no big deal. Because if you die, nothing will be missed. Because even you are gone. So if your life is just about you, your presence or your absence adds no value to the earth. So life can never be about you. Your life is an instrument or an ingredient for the betterment of lives. First of all, your life is to please God. And secondly, your life is to be used by God. Your life is like cutlass or oar in God's hand. So is your family. It's for service. It's for God's use. It's to say, God, what are we? Why are we here? Why are we married? What are we to do? Where are you sending us? Where are you shooting us like a arrow? Who are we serving? What are we serving? What are we bringing back to life? Who are we strengthening? Is it our kids? Is there something more beyond our kids? What are we meant to do? So that the circle of your life will be more than house rent and food money. You know? That's a terrible circle. House rent and food money. 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 School fees. House rent and school money. Food fees. House rent and school fees. House rent and school money. Then you do wedding for your children. And then everybody dies one day. That's an evil circle. Assurance, food money, assurance, food money, assurance, school fees, food money, assurance, school fees, food money. But there can be more. I said there is more. Let's read this and go. Now it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes. Hebo katalabaya. She's got royal robes. She's been clothed. She's been decked. She's prepared. She's wearing humility and quietness of spirit, which is before God of great price, stood in the inner court of the king's palace, across from the king's house, while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal hall, facing the entrance of the house. So it was when the king saw Esther standing in the court that she found favor in his sight. She was decked in a royal robe on the third day. Decked in a royal robe. What are you wearing? What are you wearing? Can't wear arrogance. You can't wear pride. This is a woman decked by the seven spirits of God. Decked by the Holy Ghost. What work is the Holy Ghost doing in you? What are the things he's taking away from you now? Are you responding to him now? What are the demands he's laying on your life now? Not till you get married, even right now. What is he saying? You must drop this girl. You must drop this guy so that you can enter with your royal robes. You might not have the best wedding gown on your wedding, but you can enter with your royal robes. Your husband can wake up in the midnight and just sit on the chair and say, Kai, God just dash me this girl, man. So that you can wake up in the middle of the night and look at your husband and like, man, where did I steal? You know, I just wonder, where did this other steal me from? Don't say I'm proud. You know, the day before yesterday, I called her. She sat down. Yesterday, I called her. She sat down on the bed. And I said, how are we doing in this marriage? She said, well, I think we're doing fine. I said, are you sure? And I asked her that, are you pretending? I said, because the beauty that I'm seeing, is it, oh, enjoy yourself, Charlie. She just shook a bum bum before my front and I just walked away. The beauty, the gentleness, the meekness that I'm seeing every day. Not perfect, we're not perfect. None of us is perfect here. But are we allowing the Holy Ghost to break us? The testimony of this church will not only be how we are billionaires. You know we are going to be billionaires in this church. You know that. Are you in doubt with that? That why not? We are billionaires in this church. Yeah. Not everybody will be billionaires, but there will be billionaires in this church. There will be millionaires in this church. In dollars. I'm not saying that carelessly. It's not a desire. I'm telling you what I know. But can our trophy be families? I prefer that trophy. I want men that can release their babes and say, babe, go do that for Jesus. I say, yes, boy, I represent you there. And she goes and bring harvest home. And her husband lay hands on her and say, you're too much. Come and chop kiss, you're too much. Those will be our trophies. A man, woman with children, with other children, biological and spiritual children, mentored, just like Abraham. The Bible says Abraham had 18 men in his house. He said, and Abraham he sent them and he was in their midst. When he went for battle, he was in the midst of his men. Can we see our babes and from afar, the people know, oh, that's this person's husband, because we can see the husband in her. Those will be our trophies. Amen. Now, don't put yourself under too much pressure. You can't get it all done in one day. In fact, your fight might start immediately after the service. I'm telling you the truth. Because when I said something, you shouted so much. You made everybody know that they were talking about you. So don't put yourself under. There's no pressures. Say no pressures. I'm not putting anybody in the church under pressures. I don't even put myself under pressure. Me, the pastor, I don't put myself under pressure. I've never tried to prove that I have one kind of marriage that were just perfect on the poster. I've never tried that. I don't have plans to try that. What you see is what it is. Amen. There's no pressure. But we're on a journey. Esther standing in the court that she found favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hands. Then Esther went near and touched the top of his scepter. This is what Vashti should have done. And the king said to her, what do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you up to half of the kingdom. The babe had finished the man. Now before that day, he don't finish that man. Half of the kingdom. So you can see that all those parties, the climax of that party was his wife. That's why he was able to give this woman half of his kingdom. It means that all those glory did not mean anything to him. It was his wife. So when he got the true wife, he said, everything, take her. I can give you half of the kingdom. Hallelujah. So Esther answered, if it pleases the king, Let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I have prepared for him. See how a woman is commanding king and Haman with the robe. I say, what arrogance, what you are trying to do with arrogance? Just wearing the robe of humility and quietness. You see, this commanding king with the right robe. Not with, did you come here yesterday? If you can come here yesterday, why can't I call you today? If you call me, I can call you. What you say, whatever you say to me, I can say to you. Why, if you called me anyhow, why can't I call you? No. If it pleases the king. Then the king said, bring your man quickly. Come bring your man. That he may do as Esther has said. The power of a woman is not a butt. It's not button power. It's not bonbon. Bonbon, we cannot. If you take bonbon in power, it's not bonbon. It's humility and quietness. The only thing bonbon will land you is on the bed. But when you want to shift things in the spirit, if you want to shift atmosphere, you want to shift culture, you want to bring Christ, bring blessings, you need to wear the robe of humility and quietness. He said, bring Haman that he may do as Esther has said. So the king and Haman went to the banquet that Esther has prepared. So Esther prepared the banquet and the king and Haman, our wife is calling us. Whereas Vashti, because the king was doing party, Vashti did do party for all the women. But Haman did party. And the king and Esther did party. And the king and Haman were invited. She knows how to command them. Because she's wearing the right robes. Can you command spirits? Can you provoke atmosphere? Can God hear you? And the banquet of wine, the king said to Esther, what is your petition? It shall be granted you. What is your request? Up to half of the kingdom, it shall be done. Quickly. Then Esther answered and said, my petition and request is this. If I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, then let the king and Haman come to banquet which I prepare for them. And tomorrow I will do as the king has said. So Haman went out that day, joyful, with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in King's Gate, that he did not stand or tremble before him, he was filled with indignation against Mordecai. Now let's just end the story here. I'm just saying, my women, God has ordained you to be powerful. But Satan is tempting you. He's giving you another route for that power. The only route for power is humility and quietness. The only route for power is honor. My men, we ought to love the way Christ has loved the church. Can we rise up? Let's honor Jesus.